I'm the youth pastor here at Legacy Church, and I have a million stories of unity. Today we're going to be talking about unity, and we're going to be talking about one matters. I have a lot of stories about disunity with teenagers, probably more so than unity. A lot of times, when you put a whole bunch of teenagers into one room, what happens? It's pretty chaotic, right? But I work with teenagers because I love the end result of working with them over the years, because you can work them into loving and caring and for each other. And so I have a quick story. When I was in Philadelphia, my wife and I ran a ministry called Rock, and we would go to the Momentum Youth Conference every summer. And when we were in Philly, driving up to Momentum Youth Conference, which was Claire in Wheaton, Illinois, so it was like north of Chicago, it was a very, very, very long trip. Add to that trip 25 teenagers, half of them weren't wearing deodorant, and add to that a 90-degree day on a bus, and then add also, we had a van that had air conditioning that everybody fought for. They wanted to be in the van. So what we did was we loaded our luggage in the van, and then all the students got on the bus, and we took off. Well, somewhere in Ohio, our bus starts making a weird noise, and it starts smoking from the engine. And here we are on the highway, not knowing what to do. So we call the highway guys. I don't know what they're called exactly, but they came and they fixed whatever was going on just enough to get us to Grace College in Warsaw. And so our desire was to make it to Warsaw. Well, we get the bus running, and it's been an hour and a half. These kids are on the bus. One of them's almost throwing up. One of them's almost passing out. We're switching kids in and out of the van because it had air conditioning. It was a mess. It was awful. It felt the most unorganized. Like, I did not expect it. It's not something you can plan for as one of the leaders of the trip. And at that time, a lot of our students, they butted heads. They didn't really get along super well. But we get the bus going, and the bus starts going. They're like, oh, man, the van won't start. We had killed the battery in the van, and then we're like, you know what, let's just leave the van here and let's go. So we had to get all the students to get all the luggage from the van, shove it under their feet in the seat, shove it on their laps, and we rode the rest of the way to Warsaw, and we finally got there. But the most beautiful thing happened with the teenagers while we were at Grace College. Because we had went through all this, there were a couple of students that stood up and said, you know what, I'm not going to let this ruin the rest of our trip. We still have a whole week with these kids. And so those couple of students stood up and said, this is going to be a great trip. It's actually going to be our best trip. And they kind of took over some of the other students and helped them along their walk with unity. We ended up being very organized. And from that came a lot of opportunities for their friends to come to know Jesus once we got back from the trip. One other time that one matters comes to mind is wrestling. I was a wrestler, and whenever we went to Homestead, I'm sorry for anybody that went to Homestead, but I did not like it at all. So coming from East Noble, we went up to Homestead, and they always had, for their wrestling meets, a spotlight right in the middle, and they'd shut off all the lights in the whole gym. It was basically like a state competition wrestling meet at Homestead High School. And so I remember the coach said, we were tied as a team against them, and the coach said, remember, one match matters. One match matters. And so I went out, wrestled my best, and I won. Another kid went out and wrestled his best and won. And he would tell every single kid, one match matters. And it came down to the only way we were going to win this was if we pinned every single person from here out. And so there was like three or four matches that we had to pin the other guy in order to win. And I remember the coach just saying over and over, one match matters, one match matters. And so we took each time, one time mattered. The first kid pinned his kid, the second kid pinned his kid, the third kid pinned his kid. And we beat Homestead. And that is awesome. Praise God, amen, right? But it was the coach kind of instilling in us, hey, each decision you make matters. Each time you go out on the mat matters. Every step you take on the mat matters. And so this morning we're going to be talking about, not wrestling, we're going to be talking about being unified as a body of Christ. Because I'm afraid that if we become about ourselves and we are separated, then we're going to get in a fight on what color of paint is on the wall. And that stuff doesn't matter within a church. The number one is probably the most important number. Unless you're my daughter, one comes before two, three, and four. Sometimes she'll start with three and then go to five and then back to one. But when you are in first place, you are number one. I looked up some statistics on one-year birthday parties. How much money does the average person spend on a one-year birthday party? I couldn't find a whole lot on the average within the U.S. altogether, but here's some stats I found. 26% of parents told babysitters.com they spend more than $500 on their kid's first birthday. And that's not including presents. That's just for balloons and a venue and all that. And then I ran into a blog, and it says this lady dropped $5,400 on her son's first birthday. The tab included a $1,000 party planner, $2,000 for the country club venue and food, a giant penguin made of balloons that cost $1,200, and then the rest was spent on presents. That is a lot of money. But I will say, we had my daughters too, so we did have a one-year birthday party. It is celebratory. We love it. It's good to celebrate life. One matters. Obviously, a whole lot to that one lady, too. It is rare when people are unified. It is very rare for us to be unified. Think of a time that you're a part of a team that was truly unified. A lot of times you didn't make it to the finals. The teams that are in the finals, the Super Bowl, we got Golden State going on right now. I think they play tomorrow. They're playing the Raptors. A lot of those guys are pretty unified, and you can tell because they're kind of making it into the finals. If you're unified, you're going to go a whole lot further. As much as many of us dislike Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and I'm speaking for probably 99% of you guys, we have to give them credit. They are unified. Together, they have won at least one postseason game in the last 14 of 17 years. They've been to the Super Bowl 5 times in the last 8 years. And they've, in the last 3 years alone, they have made an appearance in the Super Bowl. And so we see, whether they cheated or not, they were unified, right? If they cheated, they were unified in how they cheated. Unity with a two-year-old, it's kind of funny. We do all this party planning with a one-year-old, and then they turn two. And that is the most unorganized. There's no unity with a two-year-old. Everything's the opposite of what you want it. Even, unfortunately, sometimes our daughter, Suvi, will say, God, thank you for the food, and we'll pray. And she'll say, no God. And I'll be like, yes, there is a God, and we're going to thank him for the food. No food. And then she'll just continue to, there's just no unity. The communication's off with a two-year-old. So we're going to look at what the Bible says about unity. And if you do not have a Bible, please raise your hand. We'd love to get one in your hands. And if you don't have one at home, please take that home with you as a gift from us. But let's stand and we're going to read together Ephesians 4, 3 through 6. Ready? Read. Make every effort to keep yourselves unified in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. You guys may be seated. Leave that verse up there. I'm going to read that again. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. Can I get an amen for that? That is incredible. We're talking about unity, and God himself is the most organized, unified God that could ever exist. In the Old Testament, we had all kinds of gods that would try to come up and through, but they were never unified. And so we would often hear about being reminded of there's only one God, there's only one God, there's only one God, and people would still try to serve another God. And what most people found out was those other gods were not very unified. We're going to be discussing what it means to have, earlier in the verse it said that we're one body. And that's what we're going to talk about today. One body, many parts. John 17:23 says, "I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me." So this is Jesus talking. And he's saying, when we experience unity, people see God's love for Jesus. And when they see God's love for Jesus, they're going to see Jesus through us when we're living it out. The Church of Jesus should be the most unified group of people on the planet. And that's because we're all in the same boat and we have the same mission. We're all sinners in need of grace. And we have the same mission to make disciples, to go forward, to push people to follow Jesus. And what this verse in John 17:23 is saying is that we need to show who Jesus is, and through our love for others, through our unity within each other, and we need to have perfect unity so that way the world will know who Jesus is. If we are a disorganized, unorganized congregation, people who love Jesus, then the name of Jesus is going to be slandered. And I don't want to ever be a church, and I know people personally that, and maybe some of you guys have, you have been hurt by the church because they've argued over who's going to mow the yard and who's paying for the gas for a lawnmower and what color the paint is on the wall. That'll never be Legacy Church. That'll never be this church. So we're going to read 1 Corinthians 12 through 21, and we'll discuss this. "The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body, by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, 'I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand,' that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, 'I am not part of the body because I am not an eye,' would that make it any less part of a body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' The head can't say to the feet, 'I don't need you.'" So this is Paul reminding us. So during this time, there were a lot of people that were complaining kind of about their job and what God had given them to do, and they wished they were something else. And I think a lot of times we as a church, we can try to wish we were something else or someone else or doing something better than someone else. I am thankful I don't have to reach everyone for Jesus. I am thankful I am not Dr. Ramsey with the Gideons, because only Dr. Ramsey can be himself through the Gideons and reach people for Jesus through that way. I'm thankful I'm not Liz Lash because I cannot run a women's ministry. I cannot do that, obviously, because I'm a man and because I don't think I'd get much respect. God has not wired me in that way to run a women's ministry. I cannot be in the United States, in Australia, in Africa, in Europe, anywhere. I cannot be everywhere at one time, and I am thankful for that. The only person that can do that is God. And so, as we look at these verses, we're seeing that we have to be who we are. We want to continue to change and grow in Christ, but we have to recognize what God has gifted us in and what God has not gifted us in. Unity is not uniformity. If we focus on differences, our focus is on each other. If we focus on unity, our focus is on God. What I mean by uniformity is when you go to a military base, they all have the same haircuts, the same uniforms, the same boots. They have their beds look exactly the same because they set them perfect. And that's what I mean by uniformity. Not every Christian needs to look the same, act the same, talk the same. There are many different ways that we look, talk, and act. And we can't expect that from other people. The cool thing about being a soldier in the military is there is unity. There is probably one of the most united people in the world are people that are in the military because they literally are saving each other's lives. And they each have specific jobs. So their uniformity is how they dress, how they make their bed, how they respond to authority, yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am. That is all uniformity. But their unity comes when they work on their own specific skill set and they work together alongside other people that help them accomplish a mission. Could you imagine if a Boy Scout considered himself in the military because he knows how to tie a knot, went and he was a part of when we got Osama bin Laden? Could you imagine if a Boy Scout went there and said, this is what I'm made to do? It just wouldn't work out right. There were specific people trained. They knew every ins and outs of what was happening in that guy's life in order to capture. And we as soldiers of Christ need to be focused on being unified, not looking, acting, and talking the same. And we have to recognize we can't step in the lane of someone else. And there's a lot of frustration when that happens, when you see you're going one direction and someone tries to take over something that you're doing that is in the name of Jesus. And they may want to just help out, but they're stepping too far. We cannot be those people. We have to have an awareness of what we're causing, awareness of what God has gifted us in. Uniformity causes comparison. We start saying, well, he doesn't look like me, so he can't be a Christian. He doesn't dress like a Christian. If everything in our body competed with each other, we'd be in big trouble. And that's what uniformity is. It's if my eyes tried to hear, it wouldn't happen. If my ears tried to see, it wouldn't happen. But the cool thing is, just like us, just like me trying to lead a deaf ministry and Ashton knows sign language, it's not going to happen for me to try to do what she's doing, and she's not going to be able to try to do what I'm doing. She can't just step into the youth group and start leading things exactly as they need to be led. Just like I cannot start signing to people that cannot hear. It just doesn't work out. But the cool thing is, we can work together. And let's say there's a deaf teenager that needs sign language. We can work together on that. That's just one of many examples of that. Just like our ears and our eyes, they tell us in two different things. The eyes see something, but the ears hear it. And then the nose smells it. And we have all these senses that work together in order to the brain to function and say, okay, this is what that is. There's something burning in the oven. We can't compare ourselves to others because we're never going to be like them. That's the opposite of being unified. The root of unity is humility. We aren't better than each other. We need each other. Can my wife and I work together being a father and mother? Yes, we can to our daughters. Can we work together? We can. But there's specific needs that a kid has that I cannot do. There's specific needs that a kid has that she cannot do. A little girl needs her father. A little girl needs her mother, but it's in a two different categories, but we work together as one. We have to be humble in how we approach our children. We have to be humble in how we approach our coworkers. We aren't better than each other. We need each other. We can't play the comparison game. So a while back as a church, we looked at Nehemiah 3. And as we see, Nehemiah, he had a heart to go back to his people and help them come together and rebuild the wall of Jerusalem that was knocked down. And by doing that, everyone worked together, everyone was needed, and everyone was equal. It doesn't say anywhere that Nehemiah went on his own and tried to do this plan and do everything on by himself. He didn't build the whole wall. He didn't build the dung gate and the fish gate. And he stuck to his specific plan, and he did what he was given the task to do. And just like that, we need to work together. We need to recognize that everyone is needed, and that will help us to stop comparison, and also everyone is equal. We cannot compare ourselves to other people. When we're all needed and we're all equal, there's no comparison. We have to do the specific job that God has called us to do. And so in Nehemiah 3, you'll see it says over and over, Jim repaired, or the fish gate was repaired by Bill. The dung gate was repaired by Todd. And it goes down the line, and it says over and over and over and over what every specific person did. And so here they are working together to build the wall. And they weren't sitting there comparing who's building faster, who's building slower, whose looks better, whose doesn't look better. They're saying, hey, can I borrow a brick? Hey, can I borrow a tool? They were working together beside each other. Abraham Lincoln has a quote that says, a house divided against itself cannot stand. This is what happens when there's no unity. God, or Jesus, kind of compares himself to with a marriage symbolically with the church. The church is Jesus' bride. And if there were any, if there was anything against each other, there was no unity within Jesus and the church, then there's going to be a split. Just like in a marriage, when there's no unity between a husband and a wife, for various reasons, there's a million reasons out there, then there's going to be a split, a divorce. And that's the last thing we want as a church to happen. So this is what happens when we are not unified as followers of Jesus. We will split, we will fight, we will compare, we will be envious and jealous. We will be swallowed up in pride, we will live a very bitter life, and Jesus' church will be hurt. Jesus' church will be hurt. You guys can stop. That is horrible. That is so bad. When there's disunity, even among a worship band, it throws everything off, right? Some of you guys are like, does he know they're playing horribly? Like, what's going on? But in reality, if Dawn is not working alongside Tommy and Courtney, and they aren't all working together, then what's going to happen? It's going to sound horrible, right? It's going to be ugly. They're going to get frustrated with each other, and one of them's going to quit, and then another one's going to quit. And the same thing is with our local church. We have to work together, borrowing tools from each other, borrowing materials from each other. And we have to work together and be unified. And what happens when we're unified? Our burdens become lighter. We go much further. We learn and grow. We confess sin in our lives. We live life together. We see the glass half full. We love like Jesus loved. We proudly represent the body of Christ. And we plant more churches. We don't want to be a church that dissolves. Legacy Church was a church plant. Our desire is down the road to start in different locations so that more people come to know Jesus. And if we're not unified, especially as a leadership team within the church, then it's not going to happen. For we're not unified, we're going to dissolve. And I know as a teenager what it looks like when a church splits. It's horrible. It's ugly. There's things said and done that can't be undone. And I don't want Legacy Church to ever be split. I want it to ever dissolve. So we have to major on the majors and minor on the minors. Dan says that all the time. What it means is the major things of the church, God's word, we're going to focus on that. We're not going to focus on the color of the walls or who's mowing the yard. We're going to focus on the big things. We want to see people come to know Jesus. And through planting churches, we can do that. But the biggest and best thing that unity brings is that we get to represent the body of Christ. If we all work in unison. One matters because the church is seen as a very disgruntled, upset with how people are living. They see us unorganized. They don't see us unified. And as a church in Kendallville, we have to be unified. One body matters. What you are specifically given in life, your gifts that God has given you, that matters.